And welcome back to Cinema Vino.
Greetings.
Hey.
Bienvenuto.
We're going live to tape, so we're going to play it risky again tonight. And we're going to talk about Taylor's pick, The Bourne Legacy.
And Tay's not here tonight.
Tay is traveling, but he did leave us a message to play for his thoughts on this movie. We will get to that shortly. For this movie, we're going to drink some port. Port is a fortified wine. So it is enhanced like the lead character of this movie. It has been added to its original composition. So, a little backstory of port. Port comes from the Douro region of Portugal. So it's like Champagne or Burgundy or Chablis. It has to come from that region or it can't be port.
What's it called if it's not port? Like Champagne is sparkling wine. What's non-port port?
I mean, you'll see stuff that's like sherry. There'll be some stuff that's port style, but it has to be called something else. But but other fortified wines include vermouth, sherry, Madeira, Marsala. And those are all kind of port-like wines. And they're kind of similar in the sense that they all are wines. Fortified wine means that they stop the bottling process at some point and add alcohol, like neutral grape spirits. So to basically raise the alcohol up to around 20%. So
neutral grape spirits sounds like a Gorillaz album.
Yes. That would be. It's the new indie band.
Oh my God. Have you guys heard Neutral Grape Spirits? It's so good.
Not yet. I'm waiting till I get home.
They have a band camp. They're not on Spotify.
SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So support is basically grown so most wines are sweet. They, in the process of making them sweet, lower the alcohol content. So basically, it's like they prevent the sugar from turning into alcohol. So the stuff like Moscato, White Zin, they're sweet, but they're not high in alcohol. Port is a wine that's high in alcohol, but because they stop the process of the sugar changing over into alcohol, it stays on the sweet side. Huh. Even though there are some dry ports out there that are made in a different style, dry sherry, stuff like that, there are dry fortified wines. But
how do you pick a good port?
It kind of depends. It's like there's a lot of great, like, old school port wineries, like Taylor Fladgate, the one that we're drinking, is an old school port. Port is meant to age, so you'll see a lot of ports in stores that are 10 year, 20 year, 30 year, 40 year, 50 year ports. Ooh. Because it's so high in alcohol, it can sit for a while and hold up to age. And because it's on the sweet side, it can also kind of age gracefully, more so than a lot of wines.
More so than us.
Yes. Yeah, it's aging a lot more gracefully than we are, even tonight. And with the port, it also kind of depends on what style you're looking for. The Ruby Port, like what we're drinking right now, it's a red wine. It's a little bit fresher tasting, so it tends to have a little more bright, like fruity sweetness to it. The Tawny Port, which is what we're going to try here in a minute, tends to be more nut tasting, like a little more. It tends to be, I should have known Travis's reaction to that.
Sorry.
We were going to get Beavis and Butthead in the gallery over here. Tends to be a little nuttier flavored. Mm. Tends to be a little more earthy, not quite so fruity tasting. If you do get fruits, you tend to get like raisins instead of like cherries.
What about dates?
You could get some dates. You could get some plums. So all the way down in your plums.
Yeah. Sometimes it's going to be nutty. Yeah. Sometimes you'll feel it in your plums.
Yeah.
Sometimes you feel like nut.
And one of them's got.
Sometimes you don't.
One of them's got nuts and one of them doesn't.
Yeah.
So.
Well, this first one is delicious. I didn't realize it was going to be quite so sweet. This is what I would imagine that like hummingbird fluid would taste like.
Yeah, this is going to get a hummingbird
out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a wintertime wine. I know it's the dead of summer, but.
It's 95 degrees outside. Let's have some port.
Yes. Yeah. Where we are right now in the world, it is extremely hot. But this is a good by the fireplace wine. This is a good after dinner type dessert wine.
I do feel like this would go well by a fireplace.
Mm-hmm. The port is served in small glasses and small amounts. So.
You did not give us a small glass or a small amount.
No.
Top pour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hashtag
top pour.
Mm-hmm. And amongst my friends, by the way, that's a thing. I do like to get my friends messed up.
You're a heavy-handed pour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Todd doesn't get smashed himself, but he likes to see other people suffer.
Yes.
And he likes to make other people suffer.
Yeah, I fancy myself as a master of ceremonies when it comes to the party. I like to, or like a great and powerful Oz. I'm behind the curtain just getting everybody wasted.
His goal is to get you to fall asleep on your couch, or on his couch and not Uber home.
Yeah, or in the driveway, either way.
Yeah, or in his bed.
Yeah. Or in the begonias out front, wherever the mood strikes you. But yeah, Todd pour is a thing. So yeah, and if you guys out there never have a chance to venture to the Douro region of Portugal, it looks absolutely beautiful. Supposedly it's one of the most lush, beautiful places in the world for wine. And I've heard people rave about the Douro River cruise, so you can basically just ride on the river and drink wine and enjoy the scenery. So.
You can do that in Oklahoma, too, but it usually comes in a box.
Yeah. And there's usually stuff floating in the river alongside you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I found a half-full diaper.
Just be glad it was half-full.
Yeah.
Wow. Gave me hope for the future.
Very, very true. So we're going to talk about the Bourne legacy. A little background on that. 2012, it's the fourth entry in the Bourne series. The first one to not star Matt Damon. Budget of about $125 million, grossed about $275 million internationally. So
net profit.
Yeah. I think that the studios would call that a modest success.
It's the best you can get out of a fourth movie that doesn't even star the actor that's in the first three.
Yeah. Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. So Tony Gilroy writes and directs. He wrote the first three films. He writes and directs this one.
I was going to say, because the director... sort of had like a suicide pact with Matt Damon, right? Where mm-hmm. they were both like, I'm not going to do the fourth one if he doesn't do the fourth one. And then he was like, I'm not going to do the fourth one if he doesn't do the fourth one.
Yeah. They went Thelma and Louise right out of the franchise.
Yeah. But the writer kept on. He was just like, yeah, I can direct. Mm-hmm. I can do that.
And so basically they tried to carry on with Jeremy Renner as kind of diet Matt Damon. Basically, it's like they just gave the Jason Bourne character to him. I know they
Crystal give Matt Damon.
Exactly. And it was like they tried to plug and play a different actor into a very, very similar role in a very, very similar story.
I'd like to say that Jeremy Renner can plug and play me anytime he wants.
So it is, to me, a cash-in movie. That's kind of how I interpreted it.
Cash-in for whom? Because I don't think Jeremy Renner needed the money at this point.
No, but I think that for the people who made it, it strikes me as a movie that it was a way to continue the cash cow.
Was this right Matt Damon. After Avengers?
Avengers was
around the same time.
Was Avengers 2012?
Yeah.
Then, yeah, this would have been the same year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I didn't know which he had done first.
But Jeremy Renner was also in Thor, the mm-hmm. first one.
And this came out in August, so I'm guessing Avengers came out before this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically the story...
That's a good year for Jeremy Renner.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah, it was. So basically the story, Jeremy Renner plays Aaron Cross, who is another programmed, secret agent who is chemically enhanced, pharmaceuticals, yada, yada.
Project Outcome.
Yeah. He's kind of a super soldier version of Bourne.
Yeah, so that made me... all right, finish your synopsis.
And it follows the same template as the Bourne movies, where it's like he is marked for death and has to go on the run, figure out who's trying to kill him and why. And like the other movies, he ends up with a female companion who is in over her head. And, he has to basically keep her alive and she can help him find answers along the way. So they kind of end up helping each other out. You have in the other movies, the paunchy white guys in suits in rich mahogany offices all barking each other about how they got to catch this guy. You got the younger, leaner villain, this time played by Ed Norton. First movie was Chris Cooper. I think in the third movie it was David Strathairn playing the bad guy. Mm-hmm. And this one, it's Ed Norton. And he is the guy that's in the control room with all the monitors and the techies giving out orders like crazy.
Yeah, and he's hanging out in there with Darren Cross, Yellow Jacket from Ant-Man, mm-hmm. and Dr. Yeah. Octopus's wife. And also the Tinkerer from Spider-Man Far From Home.
Okay,
you can't
ignore that Ed Norton was the Hulk.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like it all comes back around. As soon as I saw Ed Norton and Jeremy Renner together, I was like, oh, this Hulk and Hawkeye, this is how it should have been.
Yeah.
I mean, no disrespect to Ruffalo, but, you know.
Yeah.
Ed Norton is my idea of Bruce Banner.
Yeah. He was great.
Why? What? That's a different podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you're going to send Trav on a deep dive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Born Legacy.
And so, you know, basically it's like the other movies. You have the template of very fast-paced fight scenes, chase scenes, especially one big chase scene at the end. And meanwhile, you know, all the guys looking at satellite, you know, cameras and monitors are always one step behind our hero. Same suspenseful music plays. You know, it's always the exotic locations, people who can't speak English trying to scramble out of the way while, you know, the chase scene goes by and yada, yada, yada. The, you know, our hero and the bad guy cause a whole lot of destruction and get cut to end credits and the Moby song that plays at the end. So, what were our thoughts on that? We'll start with Sean.
It was a really weak ending.
Yeah.
It just sort of like went really, really fast and then it just stopped. It's
yes.
Like, okay, yeah, it was anticlimactic. He was on a boat. He was shirtless.
Mm-hmm.
That woman who dedicated her entire life to science was all of a sudden just like, I'm happy living on a boat with you now.
Because mm-hmm.
His shirt was off. And he's a super spy with superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought the movie was good for what it is. It's a good movie. I feel like the Bourne series was like a better version of what Mission Impossible could have been.
Yeah.
As like, it's like a spy movie, it like shows off a lot of, you know, espionage techniques and shows off like, oh, I'm going to go into the space and like, I know how to get around these people that I don't share the same language because I can manipulate blah, blah, blah. And it shows a lot of like doing cool stunts, stuff like that.
Yeah. More grounded in reality. Kind of.
Yeah. Thing. Apparently the last chase scene where he's like driving that bike, he's actually like driving that bike and she's actually on his back. I thought they put the helmet on her so that they could just like throw a stunt double on and no one would know. Mm-hmm. No, it turns out she was actually like on the back of that motorcycle for a lot of scenes.
Wow.
And he was actually driving and he was like terrified for her because he was like, I normally do stunts with myself. Now I'm doing stunts with somebody on my back.
Yeah.
She has no control over anything.
But it was the stunt driver or was Jeremy
Renner? No, it was Jeremy Renner.
Because yeah. At least a couple scenes I thought I saw not Jeremy Renner.
Like, probably
I thought so
sure.
too. Okay. Like,
but there were a lot of them, he was like you say,
kicking the side of the van that's like trying to close in on him mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. Manila. But yeah, I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I thought it was, you know, a pretty rinse and repeat plot.
Mm-hmm.
It was the exact same plot of the first three movies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if their plan was to spin off into like a larger Aaron Cross born universe and it just like didn't get big enough for them to carry on with it and they just stopped.
They're still talking about it. They're every now and then they'll pop up of them wanting to do another movie, supposedly.
If there's one thing we've learned from the last, you know, season of sequels that we've done, it's that so many sequels get just lost in production. It's like 10 years later, it all of a sudden pops out and they're like, okay, we're doing Bourne Legacy 2, The Awakening.
Yeah.
You know, the first three, weren't they based off of books?
Yeah, Robert Ludlum, I think, was the guy who wrote those.
Ludlum.
My understanding of, because I've never read the books, but from people who have read the books have told me that the movies bear little resemblance. It's like Ian Fleming's Bond, where as those movies went along,
it just got wilder and wilder.
They bore, by the time you got to like Living Daylights, there was no resemblance to the book at all. They might have a character name in there, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that the tie-in to the other movies made total sense. It was like, you know, they realized the mistake they made. You know, the House of Cards was coming crashing down because Jason Bourne had, you know, brought it down around them,
mm-hmm.
whatever. And then they were just trying to burn everybody that was connected to the projects. They're like, oh, we can scrap it all and start over.
Yeah.
You know, we can just kill everybody. But then all of a sudden they pulled out one person at the end who was also a part of one of the programs. And they were like, okay, we got this asset. Let's get him on it. It's like, well, you didn't kill that program too.
Yeah.
You just wanted like two loose ends. You just didn't want one loose end. I don't understand.
Yeah.
But I mean, it worked. It was a cool last fight scene.
It was.
But you just never saw any consequences come out of it. You just saw that was the end. Okay, and he's on a boat.
Yeah. One side note is I remember distinctly watching The Bourne Identity, the first movie, in the theater with some buddies of mine from college. And the closing scene of the movie, and again, I'm thinking back to going to film classes in college, you know, it's like screenwriting. You always make sure the last scene of your movie is memorable. No matter what else you do, the opening and the closing need to stick with people. And great movies always have great opening scenes and closing scenes. Closing scene of Bourne Identity is Matt Damon He finds, is it Franca Potente or whatever her name, actress. She has escaped all of that, and she's in Greece or somewhere, and she's like at work in a scooter shop.
Oh yeah.
And Matt Damon walks up to her and surprises her, and she turns around and he's like, "You know where I can rent a scooter?" And that's
it. Credits.
Yeah. And we started laughing out loud at that because that was the closing line of the movie.
What would have been a better closing line? Same scene. He walks up to her and is just like,
I don't know. That's a good question.
An amnesia joke of some kind.
Yeah.
Can I get a moped?
Mm-hmm.
Nice moped.
And well, it was kind of like this one where they're sitting on the boat and Rachel Weisz is just like, "I hope we are lost." And
he's literally looking at a map.
Mm-hmm.
They're not lost. He just proved that he's like a super spy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? He's a shrimp boat captain now.
Great people be shrimp. Yeah. Boat captain sometimes, and that's how it be.
People be shrimping.
People be shrimping.
It's like me, I was scared. Lieutenant Dan, he was mad.
I thought this movie, for at least the first 30 minutes, I thought was awful. I was like, what is happening here? Like, they're trying to, like, hit the ground running.
With Oscar
way
Isaac.
Too fast. And give me no real introduction to Jeremy Renner as Aaron Cross. He's just like, all right, this guy, I guess, likes to dive into waterfalls and pick out what is he grabbing? What are these wolves? Why is he jumping over here? What is all this?
Diving into them is better than chasing waterfalls.
Well, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, don't do that. Yeah. Don't go chase the waterfall.
But exactly. Once he got with Oscar Isaac in the cabin, I was like, okay, finally, some dialogue from our main character. I can get on board. I was like,
I think he doesn't speak for the first like 13 minutes of the movie. There's no mm-hmm. dialogue for the first 13 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't know if they were going to turn around and start fighting or whatever, but it wasn't until the drone showed up and Oscar Isaac that I was like, okay, now I kind of know what I'm, you know, watching.
Yeah.
And I didn't know because it's been a while since I watched the first three Bourne movies. I didn't know if this was happening like concurrently with the last movie,
or I think if we were going to see. Yes, it was supposed to happen concurrently. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if there was other things, like if we were going to see mentions of Jason Bourne, like Jason Bourne just jumped out a window, like, you know, on TV or something, and he would be watching and be like, I got to get to this guy or I got to meet him. Like, I didn't know if they were going to like high five at the end, like, you made it out. Me too, brother. And then they were just going to have like a like strong arm predator like handshake.
Hey, man, you know where I can rent the scooter.
You son of a bitch.
What's the password? Scooter.
Blackbriar.
Yeah. Yeah. And you had Treadstone and Outcome and Blackbriar or Briar Patch or something. I don't know.
Well, Treadstone was activated to neutralize Blackbriar. And Jason was a part of Blackbriar.
And Outcome was meant to neutralize Blackbriar.
It's classic.
My eyes are rolling so hard. I've got a nosebleed. I don't know what is happening.
It was a complicated plot, but not in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like they're running out of cool names for their programs.
So I tried doing this at work. I tried instituting a policy where any project that we had to have a cool name because, you know, like, obviously it's a lot easier when you're like, yeah, I just got done with this project. Oh, yeah? What's it called? Like Blackbriar. Awesome.
Rogue Shadow.
Initiate Baked Beans.
Not like, oh, yeah, I just got finished with the project Modernized TPS Reports.
It's like, ugh. No.
Yeah.
The CIA, awesome names for stuff.
Yeah.
But I thought it was cool that, and here's my question, that these were enhanced soldiers, both like physically and mentally. So was Jason Bourne the same? Was he taking weird pills to be like super?
Well, and that's what
soldier?
I think they tried to hint at was that he was like the Alpha Project. Whenever, you know, the Wasp or no, what's his name? The actor,
Hawkeye, Jeremy Renner.
No. Whenever the bad guy is like reading through the profile, he's reading like Ed Norton's team. They're reading through the files, and he's just like, you see this? This guy's numbers are off the charts.
Oh, yeah, Darren Cross.
If we got a drop of him, we could, like, totally restart. And he's like, focus here. We're trying to take these people down, and if you're not on board, get out of the room.
So that actor's name is Darren Cross.
No, that's his name in the Ant-Man movie.
So what's the actor's name?
Now, here's my problem. I, for some reason, think his name is Creti Knoll. That's not it. That is the evil Skrull version of Hank Pym. That's the Skrull name of... Okay, this is probably spoiler alert in the comics, but in Secret Invasion, Hank Pym has been taken over by a Skrull or replaced, and the Skrull's name is Creti Knoll.
Yeah.
For some reason... I think that dude's name is Creti Knoll. It's not.
No.
Another plug into the Marvel Universe is the guy who played Stick with Daredevil in the Netflix series.
Oh, yeah. What's his name?
Scott Glenn.
Yes. Love him. He's got a great voice, too.
So Creti Knoll, huh?
Creti Knoll.
Okay.
Also?
He was in House of Cards.
The guy, one of the bad guys in suits, also friends with Stick and Edward Norton in this movie, he was in Escape from L.A.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Stacy Keach.
Yep.
He makes a really good, like, business suit asshole. You know?
Corey Stoll.
Creti Knoll, Corey Stoll. That's it.
Yeah. Samsonite.
It'd be a lot cooler if his name was Creti Knoll.
Yeah. No, I agree completely.
Grassy Knoll.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, enhanced blue pill, green pill. Apparently, Jeremy Renner was too dumb to join the army, and they increased it by 12 little points.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Forrest Gump's mom helped him get into the army.
Hey.
Your mama sure did care about your schooling. But, yeah, he was not 5 points away. He was 12 points.
Yeah, we're talking about...
So he needed those...
That's a lot of points.
Those blue pills. Blue pills.
Huh.
Hmm.
Interesting.
To stay in the game mentally.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of a Flowers for Algernon aspect there where he takes the pills, gets enhanced.
Well, yeah, and she was like, why do you need these pills so bad? I don't know why she took so long to ask him that when he came into the room and he's like, do you have any blue pills? Mm-hmm. You got blue pills? I need blue pills.
Yeah.
And then like 30 minutes later, she was like, oh, why do you need those blue pills so bad, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
Like, now you're going to ask?
Yeah. It seemed like the exposition in the movie kind of went at a slow pace like that where it's like characters were kind of... moving to scenes like that really slow.
It was a longer movie. It's like 2 hours, 14 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which is longer than you would expect for a movie with as little substance as it has.
Yes.
And honestly, if crazy Jeremy Renner would have been tracking me down as a scientist and finally, you know, asking for pills, I was really hoping that she would get to see him trying to take the pills. And she was like, wait a minute, have you been taking those orally? I would say it if he were kidnapping me.
Those just to are see suppositories.
The yeah. Wait, you haven't been taking those orally, have you?
Mm-hmm. I would say there were parts of it that I enjoyed. I enjoyed the part, bits and pieces of the movie more than I enjoyed the whole film. To me, it was just basically a retread of Treadstone, of the previous three Bourne movies.
It was a retreadstone.
Yes. Hey-o. And so it seemed like to me the formula was getting a little bit stale by then. You know, it was like the Bourne Ultimatum, I thought, was a very strong way to finish out that trilogy. They really wrapped up Bourne's whole thing well there. And so you kind of run into a thing with the fourth movie, like, well, just kidding, we're still going.
We're
going to
do it again.
Didn't he come back, though? Didn't they do another Bourne movie?
They did a fifth one.
That was just called Jason Bourne?
Yes, and it was also not great.
Hmm. So did they just do one more, right?
Yeah.
They didn't do, okay.
Mm-mm. And they've talked about doing another Bourne. They've talked about doing another Aaron Cross movie, both of those.
Bourne again?
Yeah.
Bourne Lega 3?
They could do a Bourne crossover.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Or they couldn't.
Yeah. But yeah, I found it, you know, not bad. I mean, I don't like it that, for example, Ed Norton and Jeremy Renner shared no scenes together except for like a couple flashbacks. I was hoping they would like have some sort of story together that would resolve itself. Like they kind of imply that Ed Norton was his commanding officer.
Yeah, he was like handler. The one who recruited him into the program and... brought him on.
They never really tie that situation off where they, you know, in the Bourne movies, they kind of eventually confront that where Bourne shows up and faces off with his opponents.
Yeah, they have actual like resolve to the character storyline.
Yeah. And he either kills the guy that he's questioning or moves up the chain to somebody else and questions them. This one, it doesn't really do that. He just, you know, Cross just kind of fights people and then lives to fight another day.
Yeah.
So it kind of lacks that concrete resolution, especially if they were planning on to keep going with this storyline. They kind of leave it hanging, like you say, at a very abrupt, awkward spot. So
I really liked Rachel Weisz's her house in there. It just looked like a lovely little fixer-upper. Just in the middle of nowhere. I was like, oh, I'm going to take a picture of that.
Yeah.
That was a nice house.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
Great bones. I think it had a lot of potential for flippage.
Thank you. But
it's project.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is.
Project house. And she's just one woman, and she's so busy at work.
I hope they didn't actually, like, blow it up or, you know,
set
fire to it. Because it's lovely.
They just found somebody else's house, and they're just like, hey, can we blow this up?
I love that open floor plan, too. There's so much you can do with
decorating the staircase.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Oh. Yeah, I love it.
And a basement?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turn that into a wine cellar?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's got a third story. What's up with that? Did we even get to see it?
Yeah, it was like a widow's peak up top.
Yeah.
Loved it.
I was hoping to get a little more of a view, kind of like Zillow, but, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe, like you say, that can be the next Aaron Cross movie.
Just exploring that house.
We can get a good sense of things.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So Taylor actually sent us his thoughts, and so we're going to take a listen to those right now.
Hey, guys. So I'm not there tonight. It's Taylor, though, just checking in with my boys. I got selected to go to space with old Jeffrey Bezos, so I'm with him right now. Hey, Jeff, say hi. Oh, he's being shy back there. He's reading his book. But, yeah, right now we're just trying to get prepped for this space launch. But, yeah, I wanted to check in and say, hey, you know, I picked the Bourne Legacy just because I love the Bourne films. The first three I was a huge fan of. I loved all the action. I actually loved the storyline. And this one was kind of interesting to me because Jason Bourne was not in it, which was very lying by the title. I'm not a huge fan. Sorry to all my Marvel fans out there. Jeremy Renner is just not kind of he's not my favorite actor in the world. I did like the movie. I love the change of the storyline. It didn't keep me enthralled the whole time. If anything, I would say this film is worth watching just to see how they deviate. At least they were able to get away from the whole, like, who Jason Bourne actually is. But they kept the story kind of okay. But this movie was just something I wanted to revisit because I was just a huge fan of the first three. So I just wanted to say, I'm sorry I'm not there, but I am excited to hear what you guys thought about it. And I'll be back for the next episode for sure. If Jeffrey would let me out of this damn simulator. Jeff, when can I get out? Okay. Wow. He's still looking at all the numbers and computer modules and all that stuff. But, yeah. Anyway, guys, I'll see you next week when I get back from space. But I hope you guys have a good one, and I miss you. Bye.
So that was Taylor sharing his thoughts.
Certainly sweet of him.
Just lovely.
For the record, Jeffrey Bezos has not been to space. They changed the definition of space because of him.
He's been to near space.
Yeah.
In his penis ship.
All right. Well, I wish you wouldn't, you know, cut the legs out from Taylor, who's very excited about saying
he's not here to defend himself. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
So do we have any parting thoughts on Bourne 4?
I think watchable is an accurate description.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would watch it once. It's half of a good movie.
Yeah.
Sean was right. It very underwhelming ending, and for me, an underwhelming beginning. I would say start 30 minutes in and then just watch until you get bored.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think only watch this if you haven't watched one of the Bourne movies previously in a long time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just going to rewatch a movie you just watched.
Yes.
It seemed a lot like, and I just thought of this, the whole beginning trying to catch everybody up real, real fast was a lot like the third J.J. Abrams Star Wars movie, The Last Empire.
Yeah.
Of like trying to somewhat erase the last movie and then get everybody up to speed. And then you're like, Palpatine's back and what the fuck? And then just like, all right, that's it.
Yep. Yeah, just racing through it. I completely agree. It's a movie. I'd never seen it before, this one. So, yeah, I watched it and probably that'll be it for me. I'm good. It wasn't bad to watch once, but I've definitely seen the first three Bourne movies multiple times each. So that says something about them and something about this movie. So,
yep.
There's that.
Apologies to Matt Damon.
Mm-hmm, as always.
Matt, sorry. Call us back.
Yeah.
We love you.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy, you
can call us back too.
Wasn't your fault. Like, you had half of a damn good movie.
Mm-hmm. You were lovely in it.
Yeah.
To plug and play Travis, it still stands.
Also, Rachel Weisz, call me.
Yeah. Let's do lunch.
Daniel Craig, call me.
Yeah.
Pierce Brosnan?
Lovely.
Love to be in the middle of that sandwich.
On that note, next week we're going to do Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. I believe that's The Secret of the Ooze.
Secret of the Ooze.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kino.
Yeah. Bebop and...
Vanilla Ice?
And Razor. Who are they?
Toka and Razor?
Yeah.
And the Super Shredder?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the TGRI spoilers. Guy?
Don't give away too much.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But anyway, yeah. I saw it in the theater as a young child.
Damn straight.
And I believe I saw it on video one time. Have not seen it since then.
Yeah. So. It unfortunately... well, less said the better. We'll keep you in suspense.
Save it for the podcast.
Exactly. But Sean Jordan, Travis Budd, and Taylor Owens.
Muchas gracias.
Signing off.
Thank you all very much. And
not with a bang, but with a whimper.
Exactly. To learn more about Cinema Vino, check out our website at cinemavino.net. You can also listen, rate, subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you choose to listen to your podcasts. My movie reviews are available at ToddWoffordMovies.com.